WI.com.
Big straw stack. I'm gonna live where the green grass grows. Watch my corn pop up and rolls. Every night be tucked in close to you. Raise our kids where the good Lord's blessed. Point our rocking chairs towards the west. And plant our dreams where the peaceful river flows. Where the green grass grows.
Welcome back to The Cabin. This is the Up North Podcast. I'm Pat Kreitlow, along with Kirk Bankstead and Sarah Yacoub. It's time to visit with someone who doesn't just understand where the green grass grows, but what kind of leaders we need for rural America and for rural Wisconsin.
Our next guest, Darren Von Rudens, served as president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union from 2010 to February of 2022, and continues to serve as vice president and district director. Darren, thanks for joining us this week.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so Darren, we talked a little bit yesterday, and I know that you have a wealth of information about what you know farmers in Wisconsin need from the federal government, from their politicians. So let's start with the farm economy. The pandemic showed us that when too many farms or processors are concentrated together, it means that when the supply chain breaks down, the economy isn't nimble enough to fill in the gaps. And what I saw as a restaurant owner back during COVID, food costs went through the roof. And so, you know, you also look what happens when you get, you know, huge amounts of workers all in like meat processing plants. And when one gets COVID, the rest of them get COVID. And then all of a sudden you can't get your meat. Same thing goes for Monsanto, right? Like, you know, these guys, huge seed companies, have been kind of making the prices go a little higher and a little higher. And when there's, you know, and so not only does that weigh on inflation, now we got a war in Ukraine where we got, you know, the farms, a lot of the seed, a lot of the food comes from the Ukraine. So you've been preaching this for probably years. You know, we gotta deconcentrate the agriculture, deconcentrate processing plants. You're probably saying, I told you so. What, talk to me about what I just said. Am I right? Or how do you see it?
Yeah, we've been talking about it for decades already, really, about, you know, trying to diversify the agricultural economy and the agricultural sector. And that means more farms, not fewer farms. And, of course, just the opposite's been happening. In Wisconsin here, dairy is the number one ag industry. Back in the mid-80s, we had 44,000 dairy farms in the state of Wisconsin. Today, we're a little over 6,900 dairy farms. So, you know, less than a third of what we had 35 years ago. And looking at, you know, what the pandemic showed, and right now we're really dealing with another issue within the chicken and poultry industries in the upper Midwest with the avian influenza in many herds being euthanized because they've got the flu bug in those herds. So, you know, that's adding to that additional problem of inflation, because there isn't animals, there isn't eggs, and just the size of these farms. If we had 10 farms for every one of those big farms, maybe we would just have to get rid of 10% of the birds instead of all the birds within that farm. And certainly the concentration issue is something that we've been trying to address and bring to the forefront. Currently, the Biden administration is doing quite a bit on that front. They've asked the U.S. Attorney General to do things. Let's look at concentration issues. Let's break up some of these larger monopolies so that we actually have a diverse system of agriculture here in the U.S.
So, Darren, as I see it, there's sort of two levels to this. One, there's identifying the problem, and then two, doing something about it. And as we're getting better about talking about the problem, you know, what would you recommend that we can do about it, or what can be put in place, or what lessons can be learned so that we don't end up in this place again and dig us out of this mess?
Well, we certainly have to get the right people in our elected offices. That's a big thing. Back in the late 2008-2009 era, after the last financial crisis that we had, there was some meetings for held throughout the country that did look at concentration. Then all of a sudden we had a different election, 2010, the Tea Party made a big stink and got folks in D.C. and the funding for some of these programs and the ideas disappeared. So now the DOJ had no funds to go out and actually enforce antitrust laws. And, you know, right now we're seeing another opportunity again. There is money within the CARES Act and some of the well, the transportation bills too that are out there. So, you know, the money is there this time. The question is, will we have enough time to actually make a difference?
Right. So we've got two ways of coming at this. We've talked about the monopolies, the near monopolies. To what degree can we go after that? Whether it's breaking up or just having, you know, better rules or just enforcing the rules that are there. Let's look at it from the other side, and that's incentivizing, you know, folks on the smaller side. We learned over the pandemic to appreciate that small, locally sourced supplies can still play a role if government would simply be more of an advocate for them as they are for the big boys. We saw a big uptick in small, local meat processors when all the big meat packing plants went down. We know how popular farmers markets have become. So what are the things, as you see it, that can provide those incentives for homegrown and the rural parts of Wisconsin food production?
Yeah, certainly that incentivizing is something that has taken place, especially here in Wisconsin, Minnesota. In the meat industries, there's been a lot of dollars put towards building that infrastructure. And then also, you know, the education part of it, looking at our high schoolers and college graduates that don't really know what they want to do, but might want to get into some form of agriculture, and giving those opportunities through scholarships and then just remodeling dollars or incentives to make sure that these small, medium-sized plants can build up their capacity to actually meet the local demand. You know, a lot of farmers right now, we're booking out to get our animals harvested a year down the road. So looking at April of 2023 before we can even get an animal into a lot of local spots. So we definitely need more local processing, whether it's in meat or even dairy too. You know, we've gotten so concentrated that, you know, plants are doing one item or one specialty and that's all they do. And so when we look at the pandemic, we had to dump milk because we simply couldn't get it put into the processing lines, which then in turn, we ended up not having some dairy products on shelves throughout the state of Wisconsin, which just drives me nuts when we have so much of it available here.
All right. So Darren, let's switch gears a little bit. I know we talked a little bit yesterday just so I could kind of get smarter about agriculture in Wisconsin. And you said that a lot of the political stuff that you have to deal with comes at the federal level, not necessarily at the state level, even though I do want to ask you from a rural standpoint what you're looking for from the Democratic Party to help out. But let's stick to the federal level now. You know, Tammy Baldwin, we just talked to Kelly Westland, you know, a second ago, who worked for Tammy. You know, she's, I don't know, you know, Pat, what is she? She's on the agriculture board. She brings home the money to Wisconsin because she's part of the agriculture stuff in Wisconsin, right?
She chairs the Senate Appropriations Subcommittee for Agriculture. She almost literally brings home the bacon.
That's her role. And then you got a guy like Ron Johnson, who I think has voted against the agriculture bill every single time, you know, that it's been put up for a vote, because the agriculture bill is also related to SNAP money, which is, you know, what's the acronym, Pat?
Supplemental Nutrition Appropriation.
Supplemental Nutritional Appropriation.
Yeah. So people sneer and call it food stamps, the thing that I grew up with, you know, being raised by a single mom. And of course, all that does is help give farmers more of a market when families can eat healthier, heaven forbid, Kirk.
Yeah, so Ron's voting against the ag bill, even though somehow Republicans are winning in among farmers, the votes among farmers. And then Tammy's bringing home the bacon, literally. Why is there this disconnect, you think, among farmers and among rural folks about what's going on at the federal level?
Well, certainly misinformation is one thing that's out there that's causing some issues, but just a lack of knowledge of what actually happens at the farm bill level and where that's at. And certainly Senator Johnson has not been in favor of it because he believes that we're spending way too much money on the nutrition title of the farm bill. The farm bill has 12 different chapters in it, so it's a pretty big bill overall, one of the biggest bills that they look at. It's only looked at every 5 years, so we'll be looking at it here in 2023 again, trying to make some corrections, additions to it. But certainly Senator Baldwin, in her position as the appropriations chair, has put money not only in Wisconsin but throughout the country, because it isn't specific to one state where those dollars go, but helping small farms, trying to make sure that we can get dollars put available so that new farmers can come into the business too. And where Senator Johnson has voted no against it, even though back in 2012 as part of the farm bill debate back then, the USDA did a study and realized that of every dollar that's spent on the SNAP program or the nutrition title of the farm bill, 14 cents of that comes directly back to farmers. So his votes, and he's saying that it's not going to be good for anybody, so let's stop spending all those dollars. That's taken 14 cents of billions of dollars away from farmers directly.
And that's only some of the federal funds. We've been talking a lot about the agriculture end of it, but when you're helping the rural economy, that includes federal money to expand broadband. That's what you see in the bipartisan infrastructure bill, because when you say to a, you know, what you have to acknowledge, farmers also want good schools for their kids. You know, farmers also want, you know, they download movies too. Let's take this to the state level, because from a political standpoint, it's important to note what we call the farm vote is not the same as the rural vote. Rural Wisconsin has tons of small cities, fewer than 10,000 people in each one. And in those cities, they understand the importance of good schools, good infrastructure. And while they value their farm neighbors, they also want their water to stay clean. But unfortunately, for many years, Democratic parties, state and national, have all but ignored what I think are needles in the haystack. So in your view, Darren, what's the message that they should be sharing about what they offer versus the usual Republican emphasis, which often comes down to, you know, divisive culture war issues and other ways to, you know, kind of gin up fear or concern versus a, you know, a literally meat and potatoes issues?
Well, I certainly think looking at the, you know, last couple of years of Governor Evers' term in office, you know, the pandemic has thrown a lot of wrenches in everything, but we've actually got some things done here in the state for agriculture. For instance, the dollars that are going to broadband now are 3 to 4 times more than what they ever were under the Walker administration. The current meat processing dollars is something that the governor and the department worked for very hard to get in, and that's also been passed and is out there now. So, you know, we've got a Republican Party in the state of Wisconsin that continues to go to Madison and do very little or nothing at all. They're supposed to be employed full time as our elected officials, yet how much time have they actually spent in Madison doing the work of the people this year again? Three or four times in 2020, they actually went to Madison for 10 seconds, gaveled in, gaveled out, didn't do anything at all. As a farmer and most farmers across the state, we're workers, and we really want to see our elected officials be workers too and get the job done, not sit and bicker about little things and never get anything done. You know, we need to continue to move the economy forward. And I think with some of the ambitions of the folks within the Democratic Party, we as rural residents need to start looking at the difference between the parties, a party that wants to work or a party that wants to just do nothing.
Absolutely. And, you know, Dwight Eisenhower is one of the last really solid Republicans that it seems we had in this country as a leader. And forgive me if I'm misremembering this, but if I recall correctly, he actually commissioned a study and found that a good road brings so much benefit. So a good road within a mile of a farm makes all the difference in the world to that farmer and their ability to be economically prosperous. You know, what do you say to our listeners or to anyone who, you know, continues to vote for a party that just isn't interested in putting in the work. And, you know, a side note on what you were saying, my representative spends his time partying and doing business in Florida. So I hear you. I'm like, why are we paying you for a full-time job that you're just not interested in doing? Move aside for someone who wants to get to work. But how do we get that message across? You know, here you are as a hardworking farmer and, you know, the Democrats are still getting misbranded, you know, left and right.
Yeah, you know, it all boils down to news sources. You know, it's very frustrating with talking with fellow farmers that have one news source, and it really goes on both sides there too. It'd be nice if everybody would listen to three or four news sources like we used to, but now it's become concentrated. That word concentration again, you know, we need to look at multiple sources, and certainly getting dollars back in rural communities is something that, you know, the Democratic Party, and this goes all the way up to the Biden administration, looking at the infrastructure bill that they were able to work with both the House and the Senate on and get passed, and those dollars are out there now. Our local township is receiving $859,000 plus through one of those ARPA grants to redo a couple miles of a road that's heavily traveled in the springtime. We've got an Amish community here that has greenhouses and many different cottage industry type businesses on that road. And it's been in gravel for the last 3 years. So it's going to be nice to finally get that built up. But looking at, you know, the infrastructure, you know, you guys are dealing with the whole broadband issue tonight again. We have board members from up there that can't get on Zoom links. They have to participate by phone because they don't have good broadband access. This is something that should have been corrected 7-8 years ago already, not getting at it today.
Without a doubt. Darren Von Ruden from the Wisconsin Farmers Union, thanks so much for the visit. We appreciate hearing from you on all the issues tonight.
Thanks, Pat.
All right. We will be back to wrap up the show right after this. Where the peaceful river flows. Whoa, where the green.